Hello and welcome to the Hands-On Windows Azure webinar. I'm Jonathan Rosenblatt, Developer Evangelist for Microsoft Canada. You can reach me at jonathan.rosenblatt@microsoft.com, follow me on Twitter, connect with me on LinkedIn, or read my blogs at Canadian Developer Connection and the Canadian Solution Developers blog. So we started talking earlier about roles and instances and what those are, but let's go into a little bit more detail as to exactly what they are, because it's actually a very fundamentally important part of Windows Azure that's important to understand. So roles are basically defined in a service model. It's that template, and it allows the fabric, the fabric controller, to understand what you're looking for in your virtual server. Now you can have multiple ones of these roles in a service that you're creating. And really what you're defining is what kind of size is the VM? What endpoints do I need? What is it actually using? What kind of role is it? Is it a web role, a worker role, a virtual machine role? Those are the different things that make up that template, or as Windows Azure calls it, the service model. When we look at specifically a web role, a web role is a server that hosts IIS-based websites or services. And the important part about it is that it has already, out of the box, the infrastructure configuration to support HTTP, HTTPS, and SSL certificates that you need to make it all happen. It's automatically load balanced by Azure, which basically means that when you create your web role, or actually when you create what's called your hosted service, that service has a DNS name, and the DNS name is routed to Windows Azure's load balancer, and from there it knows, based on how you've configured your hosted service, how to reach your various different web roles. So if you have one instance, or if you have five instances, they're each referenced, or I should say they're all referenced by the same DNS name, and the load balancer then sends traffic accordingly to each one of those roles. At the end of the day, each one of these web roles, we talked about this earlier, is a Windows Server 2008 or 2008 R2, and really hosts a full IIS 7 experience on the server. Usually, you would run ASP.NET sites on this type of role, but there technically isn't anything preventing you from running anything else. That's more of an architecture decision that you need to make when considering what to put on which role. When you're looking at a worker role, the worker role focuses specifically on non-HTTP access. So web role is for HTTP, HTTPS based activities that you need to do. The worker role is exactly the opposite. And in fact, HTTP and HTTPS requests are actually specifically blocked from reaching your worker role. The worker role really is a server, again, Server 2008 or 2008 R2, running .NET 3.5 SP1 and 4.0 so that you have the option, and really works with three primary patterns. You have your queue polling worker, which basically, if we if you remember when we talked about it earlier with the queue service, interacts with the queue service to poll and pop messages within a loop. So in this particular case, you put a request onto the queue, let's say from your web role, and your worker role comes in, picks it up from the queue, goes off, does something, comes back, puts in a result, let's say in a database, and pops the message off of the queue, and you're all good to go. Example of this is, let's say you have a website where you're uploading images, and you don't want your web front end to be doing the hard work of actually reducing the images, creating thumbnails, or if you're uploading videos, encoding videos and whatnot. So that you can actually put the request onto the queue, and then the worker role who's polling the queue then says, oh look, I have actually something new that I need to go and do. Takes the information or takes the instruction from the queue, goes off, encodes the video or creates the thumbnail, let's say saves it in the database, and then you're good to go. The next type of pattern is really a listening worker role, where you have a service that's sitting on a TCP/IP port that's just listening for commands coming in, say like a chat server or a game server. The last one is an external process worker role, where it's actually running something. So, an example of this, many people put MySQL that's running on a worker role, a database server, a different web server, some other type of long-running service that you want to be able to access, but isn't specifically a website. And that would go in your worker role right there. The third type of compute role is a VM role. And this is really where you, as the developer, have full control over the OS image because you're actually uploading a customized Windows Server 2008 R2 Enterprise image into Windows Azure. And Windows Azure is then hosting the server for you. In that case, because it's your own server, you can actually go into the management portal, you can reboot, you can reimage, and you can actually remote desktop right into your image. You can continue to benefit from the automated services, including the service model enhancements and all the scaling and whatnot, but you have to keep in mind that this is actually a server now. So unlike the web and the worker roles, where the app fabric, or I should say the Windows Azure fabric, actually knows the template of your application, how it behaves and whatnot, that it can automatically create replica copies. In the VM role, it's slightly different because it doesn't actually know what's going on in your server. So you now have a little bit more to manage than you did with the web and worker roles, but the VM role is really a great way to transition from your on-premise applications to Windows Azure applications, where you don't really have to do too many changes because the environment within the VM role actually mimics that of an on-premise server. The other thing to keep in mind with the VM role is that, like the web and worker roles, VM roles are not persistent in Windows Azure. So basically what that means is that if and when the fabric decides that your role needs to be restarted, your role is actually restarted. And in the case of a VM role, that actually is restarted all the way back to the image that you uploaded. So if you've made changes to the VM role over time and those aren't captured in your base image, when that VM role needs to be restarted in order to maintain the SLA that Windows Azure gives you, all those changes are going to be gone. So you don't really want to think about putting a database server on here, let's say, because a database requires persistent storage. Here, in the case of a database, let's say you have all this information in the database and then the VM role is restarted. All of that information that the database server saved on the hard drive of that server is now gone. And that's what it means to be not be persistent. When we look at understanding the actual instances or the concept of an instance, really it's an implementation of one of those role templates. So whenever you create an application, you create it as a web role or as a worker role. But then when you go to deploy it, you can actually deploy it to one or more instances or copies of that role or template. There's actually different sizes of those instances, and it's important to understand the differences between the two because there are actual cost per hour implications depending on the size. Starts off with an extra small and goes all the way to an extra large, increasing incrementally in CPU cores, speed, and memory. But the caveat here is that once you choose a size, you actually can't change it without recompiling your entire solution and redeploying it. But if you remember from our conversation from earlier, we talked about the fact that with Windows Azure, you actually want to look at scaling out instead of scaling up. So when you need additional resources to handle your additional load, rather than thinking automatically as you would in traditional sense by saying, okay, I need to add more CPU or I need to add more memory, and then saying, well, I need to upgrade from an extra small to a small. Rather, you can achieve the exact same thing by just adding in another extra small instance or potentially two extra small instances will give you the same horsepower, but you haven't needed to change the size. And that's really what's called scaling out. And you can see there's the difference in cost per hour, then potentially, depending on what you need, may actually make it more cost effective to scale out instead of scale up. So now, as we look at all of the instances, or I should say the role types, and we look at comparing the two, or the three. Really, the important thing here is your level of abstraction relative to your level of control. So when we look at the web and worker roles, which are at the far left there, you see that they're pretty much fully abstracting all of the plumbing that's required underneath, all of the infrastructure that's required to actually host your application. If you go to the far right on the VM role, there isn't as much abstraction because you're actually involved with the infrastructure. You're actually involved in maintaining that server, creating that server, and updating that server, and so on and so forth. But at the same time, because of all of that, and because there isn't that much abstraction there, you actually have more control. So for a VM role, you can remote in, you can make configuration changes, and everything like that. You have full control. Whereas with a web and worker role, you don't have that control because everything is abstracted, because in that case, you actually don't need that kind of control that you would have otherwise had when you went with a VM role. So with that brings us to the end of the first part of the webinar. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to go through the webinar with me, and also point you to the URL that you see on your screen to find out more information about the next parts of this webinar. If you have any questions, feel free to connect with me either by email at jonathan.rosenblatt@microsoft.com, Twitter at jrosenblatt, or LinkedIn. Thank you very much.